Chapter 5. I really dislike dresses, Sen grumbled. She was currently clad in an exquisite one that was, according to Aiden's research, the height of fashion among high-ranking Imperial society. With a high collar and long length, the pale purple shimmering gown was perfect for the joyous but still formal occasion. Sen's short hair was styled with a gem-studded band. Other jewels adorned her ears. The only thing that didn't look poised and elegant was the girl's annoyed expression. "I think you look better in them than I do," Aiden offered. She didn't care for dresses either, much preferring her uniform, and was glad she could pass this task off to Sen. Admiral Versio's daughter might be recognized in this type of a gathering, but no one knew Sen.
"I think," Gideon said, smoothing his elegant black tunic, "that we both run the risk of drawing too much attention by being so attractive."
"He always like this?" Sen asked.
"Usually," Aiden said. "I still think my plan would have been better," Gideon said.
"Your plan involved pretending to be a bounty hunter," Del said.
"Exactly," Gideon replied.
The task the team had been set that night 2 weeks ago was fairly straightforward. Moff Jakin Pyrrhees, like many in power, liked to indulge his pleasures. For him, these were drinking and gambling. Unfortunately, the one didn't do much to improve the other, and Pyrrhees was finding himself with mounting debts. Intel had reported that one evening, Pyrrhees was bragging about knowing things that would soon make those inconvenient debts go away. Even with a moth, Aiden had said during her initial presentation to her team. Her team, she thought, and suppressed a smile. Words are just words. His debts are sizable. He wouldn't get those kinds of credits for just things he could tell someone when he was in his cups. He's got to have something concrete. Visual blackmail material, data, security secrets, something like that. On someone close to the Empire. Who? We don't know. And it's better that way. Our job is to recover whatever it is Pyrrhees is thinking about selling. The other members of the squad had offered plans that focused on their own strengths and experiences. Gideon, ever eager for action, had suggested simply adopting the guise of a bounty hunter and strong-arming Pyrrhees for the information. Technology-minded Del had recommended setting up recording devices in the Moff's mansion. Sen wanted to analyze everything the Empire had on Pyrrhees and confront him with the information that he was not getting away with anything. She'd taken the idea a step further as well. They could easily present the Moff with forged documents that implicated him in much worse things, just in case he should change his mind later. Aiden had listened and done her own research on the man himself. The Empire needed Pyrrhees right where he was. By all accounts, he was a cheerful, affable leader, and the people of Arvaka Prime were very fond of him. Any hint of scandal or disgrace would create instability in the sector. A weak heart meant that a dangerous confrontation, say with a bounty hunter, might cause his death, which was also not the preferred outcome. They needed to get into his home, where he certainly kept his valuable information close at hand. And fortunately, the Moff himself had extended an invitation to visit. Or at least, they could make it look like he had. Inferno Squad's first mission would be crashing a wedding. Now all four stood in the docking bay as the technicians went through the final check on the nondescript, sleek shuttle that would doubtless have several counterparts ferrying guests to the elegant mansion on Arvaka Prime. In contrast with the elaborately dressed wedding guests, Del and Aiden wore the dark gray uniforms of private shuttle pilots. Unmarked armor was stashed away in the back. Aiden looked at the members of her team, wanting to say something perfect, but having no idea what that might be. So she kept it brief and to the point. "We all know what we're doing, and we're trained for this. We've done test runs on our equipment, we know the schedules, we also know that while plans can be perfect, what happens outside the meeting rooms isn't. But that's part of it too. Whatever happens, we'll handle it, because that's what we do.
Anyone have any questions?
Everyone shook their heads. Aiden could feel their eagerness to be underway. They were all ready.
Then let's go.
Moff Jakun Pirees requests your presence at the wedding of his daughter, Farmer, to the rising young star of the Empire, Commander Yendiv Bensik,
Gideon recited as the shuttle landed a few hours later.
Once again, Sen, your forgeries are astounding, Aiden said. And Gideon, just remember, the bride pronounces it Fama, not Fama. Del, how are you looking?
Del had his eyes glued to the second console in the vessel.
All screens are operating perfectly.
Strings had been pulled to get Del onto the decorating staff the bride-to-be had hired. Yesterday, for 6 hours, he had been able to conceal tiny, state-of-the-art recording devices throughout the Moff's mansion. He'd even tinkered with one of the regular droids to give the squad eyes they could control while Sen and Gideon were inside.
And your earpieces?
Aiden inquired, referring to the tiny devices inserted deep into the ear canals of the wedding guests. Gideon tapped his ear and grinned.
We'll hear every whisper, he assured her.
Aiden took a deep breath.
Okay, she said. Good luck. If all goes well, we'll rendezvous here in 2 hours.
Gideon rose and offered his hand to Sen.
Shall we, darling? He said as she picked up the wedding gift.
Don't lay it on too thick, Sen warned as the ramp extended. But she did take his hand. The day could not have been more beautiful. The Moff's official residence was large and sprawling, but somehow managed to be quaint at the same time. Aiden had said something to the effect that it was built to replicate the architecture of centuries past, but all Gideon needed to know was its layout, which Sen had been able to acquire. Flowers of every shade imaginable bloomed, and the warm air was heavy with fragrance. If the house had been designed to look like one from long ago, the massive gate encircling it was distinctly modern. Gideon made note of where the controls were. Casually, he angled his body so that the tiny cam embedded in the Imperial symbol on his chest could send the information to Del.
Perfect, Lieutenant,
came Del's voice in his ear. Sen, who despite her protests appeared to have been born into a life of formal gathering in gowns, held the wedding invitation in one gloved hand. She handed it to a guard flanked by a stormtrooper.
Lady Dazara Monet, she said,
introducing herself with a dazzling smile.
This is my guest, Brix Gaven.
Lady Dazara Monet was an entirely fictional construct, although one Vezin Monet was a distant relation to the groom. The connection would stand if they were suspected. Sen had concocted histories for both Dazara and Brix, elaborate enough so they could make small talk if cornered by guests, simple enough to remember. Gideon half expected problems right at the outset, but Sen's grace and ease were apparently as convincing as her forgeries.
Oh, the guard said, her expression changing. I see you're one of our VIPs, my lady. The wedding will be held in the grand ballroom, but you and your guest may go upstairs to observe the ceremony from a special viewing area.
A droid hummed up to them, ready to scan them and the wrapped gift for weapons. Sen eyed it with annoyance, and the guard immediately said,
Cancel scan. Apologies, my lady. Our droids are sometimes too efficient. I hope there's no offense.
Not at all, Sen said. Moff Pirees is fortunate to have such diligent guards.
Serving droids milled about the green lawn area, where some guests, appreciative of the sunny weather, were enjoying drinks and canapes.
One of those serving droids are ours,
came Del's voice.
Sending it to you now so you'll know which one.
Sure enough, one of the GG-class serving droids began rolling toward them, its tray filled with small goblets of rich red wine. Gideon took careful note of the droid, noticing it had a small scratch along its tray. And he and Sen each snagged a goblet, nursing the drink as they examined their surroundings for a moment before heading inside. Sen leaned over the droid for a moment and ordered,
Shadow Moff Pirees.
The droid booped, swiveled, and rolled towards the main entrance.
Sen and Gideon followed a moment, nodding pleasantly to the stormtrooper standing next to the large double doors. Two troopers and a guard so far. They stepped into a vast foyer with a high, arching ceiling and marble floor. The alcoves along the white walls were filled with art, the room itself with chattering guests. To the left and right were other rooms, a hothouse garden and a study filled with more art and old tomes.
"Don't let the books fool you," said Aiden. "Or the art. Pyrrhus isn't an aficionado of any of it, but he likes how it all looks."
A formally dressed young man awaited them. He looked both excited and tired, but his smile seemed genuine.
"Welcome," he said, reaching to shake their hands. "I'm Sine Drelauren, one of the groomsmen, and you are..."
"Lady Desara Monet and Brix Gaven," said Sen.
Both she and Gideon were wearing gloves. First, because they were in fashion this season, apparently. And second, no fingerprints.
"Can I trouble you to take this, please?"
She held out the gift to him.
"It's sunfruit liquor. For the bride and groom, of course, but I know that Moff Pyrrhus appreciates the finer things. He might want to make a toast with it today, so let him know, please."
The groomsman's eyebrows had risen when she mentioned sunfruit liquor, and he accepted the gift, handling it carefully.
"I'll see that he gets it," he said. "In the meantime, there's food and drink being served in the sun parlor on your right. Don't miss a chance to look into the library. The Moff has a collection of actual old books. Don't see that every day. Down the hall, there's an area for the guests. There's a restroom right there. Will you be watching from the upstairs viewing area in the connecting hall?"
At Sen's nod, he continued.
"There are staircases that will take you there. Thank you so much for coming."
Gideon shook Sine's hand and clapped him on the shoulder.
"I've never seen a book collection," he said to Sen. "Let's take a look."
They had the room to themselves. Despite the novelty of antiquated tomes, most of the guests seemed to prefer to congregate in areas that provided refreshments and high-ranking Imperials with whom they could mingle. Again, Del's voice came in his ear.
"The book's on the end on your right. Second shelf."
While Sen stood guard, casually looking around, Gideon followed Del's directions.
"You're looking for a red one. The title is Ancient Keltrian Poets, Masters of Alliteration."
Gideon almost choked with laughter, but he bit his lip and forced it down. "That's not going to be a popular one."
"That's why I picked it,"
Del said. Gideon found the tome, a surprisingly thick one. The ancient Keltrians must really have enjoyed their poetry, and removed it. Nestled behind it was a tiny piece of technology the size of Gideon's thumbnail, a security code descrambler.
"Del, let's always be friends. That way when you come visit, I'll never have to worry that you're hiding all kinds of things I'll never find."
Del's laugh was surprised and genuine.
"Deal,"
he said.
"The bait's been taken,"
Sen murmured. Gideon slipped the descrambler into his pocket and replaced the book on the shelf, then went to Sen. He followed her gaze and saw an older, rotund man with a pleasant expression speaking with the groomsmen he and Sen had passed the gift to. Now the gift was being passed into Moff Pyrrhus' eager hands.
"You really think you'll drink before the wedding?"
"Our dossier thinks he's likely struggling to not rip open the box right this second," Sen said quietly. "A rare alcohol? Two things he can't resist. We don't absolutely need him to, of course, but it'll be an additional distraction."
The liquor was genuine enough, rare and expensive and delicious. But 10 milligrams of daraformine had been mixed in with it. Sen had called it the life-after-death drug. At certain concentrations, the reaction mimicked death so perfectly that the average person would not be able to tell the difference. It was occasionally used among agents as an exit strategy from an assignment. It worked, provided the body was recovered intact and whisked to safety or a medical droid wasn't summoned. The risk was high, but sometimes a fake death was the only chance to avoid the real thing. Smaller amounts merely rendered the victim unconscious and posed little danger.
"Inferno One," said Sen. "Del's serving droid is shadowing Pyrrhus. Notify us once our host begins drinking."
Copy,
Aiden said. Let's go and see the view from upstairs, said Sen.
Threading their way through the crowd, they made their way to an open area with two sets of stairs on either side, a fountain containing brightly colored fish in the center, and a uniformed guard.
Two troopers, two guards, Gideon thought.
The fountain bubbled loudly when Sen showed the guard the invitation, and he cleared the pair to go upstairs. Only a few people were up there now. They would start showing up closer to the time of the wedding. All four of the team had seen the layout of the house, and Sen, of course, had memorized it. On that level, there were four bedrooms, including the master suite with an attached sitting room and office. The office would be the first place they searched.
The wisest thing would be to keep incriminating documents and other items off-site but easily accessible, Sen had said during the planning stages of the mission. The second wisest thing would be to place them somewhere no one would think of looking. But people are generally foolish about such things. They fall back on habit, laziness, familiarity, or a false sense of security. The odds are that he has a safe in his personal office, and he keeps the materials there.
They would have time to look elsewhere, as the wedding wasn't going to start for well over an hour. But Gideon didn't even want to entertain the idea of failure. Two of the bedrooms on the floor were standing wide open in case anyone needed to use the facilities.
They were probably guest rooms. While tastefully decorated, they were too tidy and lacking in personality.
The master bedroom and a fourth room flanked the viewing area, a temporary cluster of chairs on a three-level dais. Below was the grand ballroom, beautifully decorated and awaiting the ceremony.
"The decorators did a marvelous job," said Gideon.
"Thank you,"
Del replied.
"Inferno 2 and 4, alert. He started."
Aiden interrupted. Sen gave Gideon an I-told-you-so look.
"Copy that. How much?"
There was a pause.
"He's on his third shot."
"If he keeps drinking like that, he's going to be down within 10 minutes, Sen said, clearly alarmed. "What room is he in?"
"Right now, the library with a few others. He's saying he'll save enough for the toast later. Odds are when he collapses, they'll shut the door to everyone but family and a physician if there's one in attendance. The rest will be herded into the sun parlor or maybe even taken outside and detained until it's clear he's out of danger."
"So, two choices," Gideon said. "Get the data now, or get it and then get detained for who knows how long and possibly get discovered."
"We're going with plan A,"
Aiden said. "Give us a countdown," said Sen.
To Gideon, she said,
"Come on, we've got one shot at this."
Gideon glanced down as he and Sen went to the bedroom door. The guard was still at the bottom of the stairs near the fish fountain. After a few long seconds, the descrambler entered the correct code and the door slid open. They hurried past the enormous bedroom, the dressing room, and the lavish bathroom into the office on the other side. Several artworks covered the red-painted walls. Gideon paid them no heed as he removed them one by one. And there it was. A wall safe. Smaller than he'd expected. But then again, data chips and holo recorders didn't take up all that much room.
"We found the safe," Sen said.
"Good,"
said Aiden.
"It's been 3 minutes. He looks fine still."
Sen put the descrambler on the safe. Seconds ticked by. She and Gideon exchanged looks. Then they heard a soft click, and the door swung open. Inside were pieces of jewelry worth tens of thousands of credits and a holo recorder.
"Got it,"
Sen said.
"Wait," Gideon cautioned. "It could be anything. We should check."
"He's right,"
Aiden said.
"It's been almost 5 minutes, but check. If it's blackmail material, it might not be pleasant, though."
Gideon put it on the desk and pressed the button. To his shock, he saw the most innocent thing possible. A younger and thinner Moff Pyrrhes holding his baby girl and singing her a lullaby. He clenched his fist and almost brought it slamming down on the desk in frustration, but remembered the guard on the stairs.
Who the hell keeps something like this in a safe? And where the hell is the blackmail material?
Sen kept shaking her head.
No, it should be in there. He'd want it close at hand. He wouldn't store it off-site.
5 minutes. He seems to be looking sleepy,
Aiden said. Her voice was flat, as if she was controlling it with an effort. Gideon looked around almost frantically,
Where do we even start?
His daughter,
said Del.
He keeps a hollow of himself holding her when she was a baby. It's that important. He'd want to keep something else important where he would never forget where he'd stashed it.
Gideon's eyes fell to a painting that had covered the safe. He had propped it against the wall when he'd set it down. The image of an angelic little girl peered up at him. Sen stood beside it, and now she dropped down to her knees and felt around the back. Her eyes lit up as she brought forth a data chip.
Now we've got it, she said.
Great. Now get out of there. Our Moff isn't looking too healthy.
She didn't need to order it twice. Sen stuck the chip in the bodice of her gown while Gideon replaced the painting over the safe. As they started down the stairs, Iden's voice in Gideon's ear said,
He's down. Get out of there now.
Even as she spoke, he could hear some distressed murmurings and the voices of the guards telling everyone to stay calm. Gideon hoped the one at the foot of the stairs hadn't been alerted yet, but then he saw the man raise a hand to his ear and nod. Sen was ahead of Gideon on the stairs as the guard moved to block their path. She paused on the step right above him.
I'm sorry, the guard said, but there appears to have been an incident. We're going to have to ask you to...
Sen clenched her hands into fists, twisting her body slightly to one side, and slammed the guard's jaw with the most beautiful uppercut Gideon had ever seen. The man's head snapped back, and he started to fall, but Gideon darted forward just in time to grab him before he toppled down the stairs. Sen's breathing was quick, and she grimaced, holding her hand.
Thanks for catching him, she said.
Thanks for knocking him out, he replied.
Gideon and Sen shoved through the crowd just as people were about to start panicking, made it to the lawn, and were heading toward the shuttle when someone shouted at them to stop. They exchanged glances. Sen kicked off her high heels, and they sprinted towards the nondescript shuttle, jumping onto the ramp as it retracted. The vessel lifted off just as they fell into their seats. When they'd made it into hyperspace, Iden let out the breath it felt like she'd been holding for 2 weeks.
Congratulations, Lieutenant, Gideon said. I think we can safely say Inferno Squad has just completed its first mission successfully.
You two did a fine job down there, Iden said. And that was some quick thinking on your part, Commander Miko, about where Piris might be keeping the chip. Where is the chip, by the way?
Sen fished it from her bodice and handed it to Iden.
I feel a little bad for the Moff now, she said. Putting him and his family through a scare on his daughter's wedding day, he really seemed to love the girl.
Something inside Iden twisted sharply at the words. She couldn't fathom her own father holding her when she was a baby. She couldn't recall any physical affection from him at all. And the only portrait that was ever painted of her was the one her mother did, in the Young Imperials Can Reach the Stars poster. We did what we had to in order to complete the mission, Lieutenant, she said. And we always will.